As I'm sure you're starting to see, these healing results are equally as miraculous as what we saw from the Russian pyramids. And they are taking place without the use of pyramid technology. In 2005, Garayev reported that, by the same means, we have significantly curbed the aging process in human cells and even grown new adult human teeth in individuals who had lost them. I contacted Dr. Garayev to get more information. As some of his technical papers reveal, all of which are still in Russian at this time, this was an accident that happened while he was treating an elderly woman for diabetes. Specifically, he was trying to regrow a healthy new pancreas for her by energizing the blood of her 10-year-old grandson and beaming in the proper healing frequencies. In Garayev's model, a child's DNA still has the parents' and grandparents' energy signature in it, but in a healthier, younger configuration. This process involves the use of a specially modified wide-spectrum red laser. Most of the details are still in Russian, but can be found at Garayev's official website, wavegenetic.ru. This woman only had one tooth left in the front of her mouth. After 2 weeks of treatment, she started experiencing pain and swelling in her jaw. Bumps appeared in her mouth, and three new teeth cut through the skin, all of which were wisdom teeth in the back. This forced her dentist to completely redo both her top and bottom denture plates to account for the new growth. Garayev also sent me an X-ray diagram of what happened, but did not have a before photograph available for comparison. Sadly, before Garayev could repeat the experiment with others, Bauman's State University in Moscow declared it pseudoscience, terminated the experiment, and fired him. Some might consider this to be a fatal indictment of Garayev's credibility as a scientist, but this is not uncommon. Many, if not most of the scientists who make discoveries like this end up being scorned, ridiculed, feared, and attacked. So many different scientists have independently discovered the same things that it is very unlikely we are dealing with hoaxes or pseudoscience at all. Indeed, the evidence is clear that this is a medical revolution waiting to happen. Given the results of the pancreas study, a single organ donor could now regrow hundreds of organs for other human beings, and in rats, the entire process only took 12 days. Another Russian scientist named Budakovsky proved that we may not even need the donor organs at all. Budakovsky started out by taking a holographic image of a healthy raspberry plant with a red laser. He then shined the hologram into a raspberry tumor, known as a callus. Normally, we consider tumors to be useless tissue that we should surgically remove and throw away. But the holographic light completely transformed the tumor back into a healthy raspberry plant. This proves that once you have the energy signature you need, the information, you will get results. No living tissue is required to supply the original code. You just need the code itself, which can manifest in coherent light. In this case, the holographic image captured the wave information that told the tissue in the tumor how to regrow into a healthy plant. One of the single most significant and revealing breakthroughs was discovered by Dr. A.B. Burlakov, another Russian scientist. Remember Pop's discovery that fleas, fish, and other organisms are all absorbing light from each other? Burlakov put growing fish eggs next to each other so light could pass between them, even though they were hermetically sealed. Here's the amazing part. If he put older, more mature eggs in front of younger eggs that were just getting started, the older eggs apparently sucked the life force out of the younger eggs. The older eggs grew stronger and faster, and the younger eggs withered, experienced deformities, and had significantly higher death rates. Burlakov noticed that mother fish were careful to never lay their eggs next to other fish eggs, and this seemed to explain why. On the other hand, if Bourlakoff put a slightly younger egg next to a slightly older egg, the younger egg would absorb life-giving energy from the older egg. Its growth and development would actually speed up until it was at the same level as the others. I spent years trying to find a scientific study featuring data like what Bourlakoff discovered, because so many other breakthroughs seemed to be leading us in this direction. Everyone has experienced being around people who are an energy drain, and some even call them psychic energy vampires, though that is an awfully harsh and disrespectful term. It is easy to overreact once you are equipped with this knowledge and accuse others of stealing your energy. However, this doesn't necessarily serve you well in the spiritual sense, because it reinforces the idea that your energy is a finite thing that can be taken from you. I believe the truth is that there is limitless energy in the source field, and if you do start to feel drained, you can replenish yourself by moving into a state of coherence. The loving space, coming from the heart, keeping your mind quiet and peaceful, all appear to actively rejuvenate your batteries in a very short time. A handy visualization that works for me is to think of our energetic duplicate, or aura, as being similar to a balloon filled with water. The size of the balloon can increase and decrease depending upon how much energy you have stored within you. We cannot directly measure the size or shape of this balloon with any instruments currently available, but with Bourlakoff's fish egg study, we see the negative side of all this, where the strong can absorb source field energy directly out of the weak. This may also be happening in pack animals that cluster around an alpha male for strength, guidance, and protection. Pop found out that when we are under stress, we release a great deal of the light that is stored within our DNA. Some of it appears to be going to heal our cells, but perhaps that's not all it does. In Baxter's experiments, the stress and death of living organisms sent out a wide-ranging signal that was available to plants, bacteria, eggs, and other life forms in the area. Nature may therefore have a built-in system where the herd automatically releases their energy when they are feeling stress and fear. Then, by looking up to their leader, their alpha male, they send their energy directly to him, just like in Dr. Glenn Ryan's study, where the DNA samples did not get energized unless we wanted them to be. It could very well be that this is a natural survival mechanism where the herd sends their collective, combined source field energy to their leader, so he will be stronger, faster, and more effective in battle to protect them. This may also explain why sports teams seem to consistently perform better in their home stadium rather than in their competitors' arenas. Granted, some of it is obviously caused by the fact that they know their own playing field better, and they are inspired by the sound of the crowd. But there may also be an energetic component as well that we just haven't acknowledged yet. With Bourlakoff's discovery, we have solid evidence that this exchanging of energy is going on all the time. It is also interesting that healing effects occurred where the stronger eggs helped the weaker eggs, if they were fairly close in their level of development. It seems that if a mother fish lays some eggs, and some of them have minor birth defects that slightly slow down their rate of growth, nature has a corrective mechanism that uses the energy from the other eggs to bring them up to speed. However, if the egg is significantly less developed than its neighbors, perhaps it's considered to be too far gone, and its own life force is then absorbed for the benefit of the older, stronger eggs. Since Bourlakoff was also aware of Gervich's work, he tried putting a piece of glass between the two sets of eggs. And once again, by shielding off infrared and ultraviolet light, the effect completely stopped. As expected, it worked perfectly if he used a piece of quartz instead. Burlakov also found that by using different wavelengths of light and polarizing lenses, he could create freak abnormalities, such as multiple heads and multiple hearts. If he then reintroduced the normal wavelengths, these abnormalities disappeared, and the fish larva would revert back to their usual pattern, showing no signs of ever having been mutants. This creates much significant trouble for the Darwinian model of evolution, which is all based on mutation. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. According to Russian researcher Dr. Alex Kaivarainen, both bacteria and insects have been observed to experience remarkable healings by simply being close to other members of their own species who were healthy. Parsons and Heal poisoned bacteria with antibiotics in 2002 and found that they recovered if they were near other bacteria that were healthy. Agajanian got the same results in 2003 with insects. It certainly pays to have healthy friends. Think about how people who are dying tend to reach out with both hands to touch someone who comes up to speak with them. It may very well be that a two-handed touch enhances the absorption of the source field. Is it possible that human beings can send energy to bacteria, plants, animals, and other humans and help improve their health in some way? This is exactly what Dr. Daniel Benor discovered after analyzing a total of 191 different controlled studies of spiritual healing. Amazingly, 64% of these studies showed statistically significant effects, including studies where the healing work was performed over substantial distances. Let's not forget that 36% of the studies did not appear to show any healing effect. So what you usually see in the mainstream media is an article that discusses one of the experiments that failed, and then concludes that we have scientific proof these effects do not and cannot work. This is simply not the case. Alexandra David Neal visited Tibet in the 1920s and wrote up her stunning observations in the 1931 classic With Mystics and Magicians in Tibet. Among many fascinating things she witnessed firsthand, some of which we will discuss later, the Tibetan monks explained to her that all of their mystical abilities came from being able to harness waves of energy through meditation. The secret of the psychic training consists in developing a power of concentration of mind greatly surpassing even that of men who are by nature the most gifted in this respect. Mystic masters affirm that by the means of such concentration of mind, waves of energy are produced, which can be used in different ways. That energy, they believe, is produced every time that a physical or mental action takes place. So, as we make our own thoughts more coherent, we may increase our ability to access the source field and determine how and where it flows. This is a very important point, as it helps explain why so many ancient spiritual traditions place significant importance upon meditation. Let's again go back to our 7,000 people meditating and reducing all terrorism in the world by 72%. It appears they are doing this by creating coherence in the source field. This in turn affects everyone else's minds directly, since we all share consciousness with each other in a measurable sense. And this is truly a fascinating new way of looking at ourselves and the world. In Koznachayev's stunning discovery, healthy cells picked up the genetic code of a virus from diseased cells through nothing more than the information structure of disease that he transmitted into them. This strongly suggests that DNA is not fixed in one configuration, but the code can actually be transformed from one life form to another on a strictly energetic basis. This fascinating discovery opens the door to a whole new investigation of one of the greatest scientific mysteries of all, the evolution of species. Is this truly a random process, as most Darwinian scientists insist? Or is something else going on? Believe me, I'm definitely not a creationist who thinks every word of the Bible is literally true and that nothing on Earth is over 7,000 years old. Nonetheless, it is ridiculous for the mainstream media to polarize the discussion between science on the one hand, a model that is more than 100 years old and fraught with problems we will soon explore, and religion on the other. The evidence we've already looked at suggests that the codes for life may exist in the source field itself. This information then flows into our own reality through ultraviolet light, not unlike how visual information may be flowing into the pineal gland through a Stargate-like silver cord tethered to our energetic duplicate body. In the next chapter, we will explore new data on species evolution and find out if we have any proof of these radical new ideas.